Repeat, that which the Vedantas describe,
as unmanifest
and infallible,
that which is known as the supreme destination,
that place from which, having attained it,
one never returns,
that is my supreme abode.
Purport.
By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The supreme abode of the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described here as Paramam, described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are also trees called desire trees that supply any type of eatable upon demand. And there are cows known as Surabhi cows, which supply unlimited supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis. And He is called Govinda, the primal Lord, and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow His flute, Venam Kavantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of His body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that His beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around His neck, and peacock feather in His hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of His personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in Brahma Samhita. Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad, states that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that that abode is the ultimate destination, Purusham Na Param Kinchit Sakashta Paramagati. When one attains it, he never returns to the material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna Himself are non-different, being of the same quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of the supreme Goloka Vrindavan, located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, He sported in that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles, in the district of Mathura, India. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschacha Desvatarane Shikalpa Chubhischa Kripa Sindhavidacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo. The devotees are also called desire trees. They're full of compassion. They can fulfill all desires because they can give Krishna consciousness, and that's what everybody really wants. Sometimes people think, well, I wanted a motorcycle and a big house and I didn't get it when I joined the Hare Krishna. But if one really becomes Krishna conscious, then he doesn't have any other desires anymore. Dhruva Maharaj. And Krishna was telling him, you have to take some benediction. He said, no, I'm not completely satisfied. Just to see the Lord. So the Lord has six opulences. He has unlimited opulences, but they're divided into six for us to be able to think about it. Fame, power, knowledge, what else? Beauty, I was going to say that. What's the other two? Renunciation. Renunciation and
strength.
Strength, yeah. So of all these opulences, the most wonderful one is the beauty. And there's lots of statements how Krishna's beauty like covers everything. And I was just reading about Krishna's beauty in Sri Bhagavatamrita. I don't remember everything, but Mother Yasoda was talking that nothing can be, anywhere can compare to Krishna's beauty. The the people there are wishing that all their senses would be eyes, because they want to see Krishna's beauty. It's so beautiful. So they want their eyes, their ears to see, their nose, everything to see. They're thinking Indra has a better deal because he has 1,000 eyes. And, you know, we heard other gopis, if they just blink, you know, they're criticizing Lord Brahma that the eyelid is a mistake, because then they can't see Krishna. And the coward boys, if Krishna just walks behind a tree and they can't see him for that moment, they freak out because they're just so enamored by his beauty. And that's all they just think about, talk about. Everyone only thinks about Krishna. So this verse is one that, you know, provokes different discussions, because it says never comes back. So then someone might say, well, if the spiritual world is so great, then it must not be that great, or we wouldn't have left it. Some will say like that. But and someone asked Prabhupada, he said, well, that means almost never. But generally, everyone, you know, was with Krishna, but somehow a few of us have left because of this independent free will that Krishna's given us. That's what makes everything perfect. But it's very, 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 even much millions of times more unlikely that once someone goes back to this, he's never going to leave. Not that we remember, you know, not that you have bad dreams about how you suffered in the material world or something, but somehow or other there's. And Krishna welcomes anyone when they come back. And it's like you've only been gone, you know, it's like you nodded out or something. Even though we might have been in the material world for millions of lifetimes. In the spiritual world, there's no consideration like that of time. But there's feelings of separation from Krishna. Everyone is just thinking of Krishna. The trees can move. But no one, you know, is just going around trying to get all the fruit for their own enjoyment. They want to offer everything to Krishna. The trees want to offer everything to Krishna. And you can call the tree to move. Not only can it give any fruit at any time, and no seasonal conditions, no, like here, you know, one tree can give one kind of fruit, right? And some people can mess around with the tree. I heard of one guy in India, and he's got mango trees or something that can give all different, like some taste like bananas, and they taste like, but they're mangoes, you know, that they taste different. But generally you get one kind of fruit, one kind of flower from one tree, and the trees in the material world, they can't move around. But in the spiritual world, it's completely different. And the main feature is everything is fully conscious, no matter what type of body they have. And they just want to please Krishna. But the main attractiveness of Krishna is his beauty. We can see that when we look at the deity. I don't know if anyone can look at the deity and think of something more beautiful that they've seen. Right? Anybody? But when we go out, we may be immediately attracted to something that in the material world that is considered beautiful in the material world. We can forget Krishna. But in the pure state of mind, they never forget Krishna. They never see anything else. They just see Krishna in everyone's heart. And remember Krishna every moment. Dream about Krishna. Talk about Krishna all the time. But everything about Krishna is beautiful. The holy name is beautiful. You won't find a more beautiful song anywhere. Beautiful syllables. Krishna. The Rupa Goswami said nobody knows how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. But when we chant, then we think we need more tongues. I don't think that, but Rupa Goswami thought like that, that one tongue is not enough. The holy name is so great. You need more tongues to chant more. And you want to have millions of ears to hear more. And then when the holy name would enter the heart, through the ear it enters into the heart. And then the mind will become stunned and the senses will become inert. That means the mind will not be wandering all over the place and demanding this and that and telling you you want this and you don't want that and go here and go there. And the senses will not be, you know, searching all over for something for their gratification. Just only thinking of Krishna. Not that the mind will become a zero and dull and dead, but will be totally filled up with Krishna. That's the power of the holy name. That's also Krishna. There's no difference. All these things are, you know, a little bit by material calculation, material experience, we can't, you know, these things don't make sense sometimes. The Vrindavan on earth is the Goloka. The Gokula on earth is not different than the Goloka. Although, if we go there, we may think, well, look at this place, you know. But that's a covering. It's covered by, you know, dirty things and nonsense people. And that's not the really Vrindavan. That's not the real Gokula. The Gokula, Vrindavan, Mayapur, those places, even at the annihilation of the material universe, they remain because they're actually spiritual places. But one has to be very purified to fully perceive that. But as devotees, if we go, we know something. So it's something special there. There's the presence of Krishna is very powerful. But we're only perceiving as much as we're able to perceive according to our own, you know, attachment and own purification. But as we continue to chant the holy name, the more we chant, we get purified. The holy name is all wonderful. And it's Krishna. So when someone like Haridas Thakur is chanting, of course he can chant 24 hours, day after day, and because he's absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. He's with Krishna. The holy name is Krishna. So when we're chanting, Krishna's also there. But when we're dressing the deity, Prabhupada said, it's the same Krishna that Mother Yasoda is dressing. But we may not have the same love for Krishna that Mother Yasoda has. That song, Jai Radha Madhava, Prabhupada once said, this song explains everything about the spiritual world. It's quite an amazing little four lines. Radha Madhava starts with that's Radha and Krishna, and they Kunjavihari, they enjoy in the forest. There's certain trees that the leaves come down to the ground and inside it's open. So they can go in there and it's cool and nice and private and enjoy the leela. Of course they don't enjoy like poison girls here do. They're enjoying very wholesome activities of loving exchanges on a higher level. Kunja Vihari, then Gopi Janabalavi is giving so much pleasure to the gopis. And they're giving so much pleasure to Krishna. Giri Bhadadari, when he was holding up Govardhan Hill, Krishna was especially giving great pleasure to the gopis, and the gopis were pleasing him, of course, because he had to stand in one place for 7 days. And they could stand right next to him all the time and talk about him and say whatever they wanted. So it was especially a special time. And Mother Yasoda, of course, all the gopis, the coward boys, the young gopis, the old gopis, the Mother Yasoda, the older ladies were thinking that actually Krishna's not holding up Govardhan Hill, the men are holding it up, because they got worried, so they all put their sticks up. And sometimes Krishna's hand would shake a little bit and he'd get scared. But Balaram didn't worry. He said he knew that Krishna was just looking at the gopis' bodies and getting a little excited. And Mother Yasoda was so worried and kept saying, you've got to eat. You know, you must be hungry. But Krishna's saying, no, I'm not hungry. She thought the hill was really heavy. But actually, Govardhan was in ecstasy and he was just floating. he was in so much ecstasy to be touched by Krishna like that. And he was feeling the lightning bolts and the hail, you know, I don't know if you've seen hailstorms or ice. This was like huge chunks of ice. That's just, sometimes in Mayapur they come like this big. These were big chunks of throwing, huge lightning. And but Govardhan was feeling it all like flowers, like an elephant would feel the flower garlands. Because he was in ecstasy, you know, being held up by Krishna. So everybody was relishing Krishna's beauty all the time. So we also, Krishna's giving us that opportunity by the deities. We can relish the beauty of the Lord. It's inconceivable, but if we can just keep looking and keep examining just the beauty of everything about Krishna's dress is, you know, so many details are given of his face and how he walks and how he stands, and then when he plays his flute, the Jamuna stops flowing. You know, you can't stop a river from flowing, even if they put a dam in it backs up. It stopped. The Jamuna stopped flowing. Birds would fall out of the sky, bewildered by the musical arrangements. Demigods that were flying over, even Gandharvas would get bewildered by the music. They never heard such a thing. Sometimes they'd fall out of their airplanes also. And non-moving entities would start moving around. Honey would just drip out of the trees, and nectar would just drip out. That's the power of Krishna's flute. Many people can play flutes very beautifully, but nobody can play like Krishna. And all the cows would come, the gopis would come running, drop everything to run where Krishna was. They all felt that, you know, he's personally calling them. The cows would all come. So we don't have, you know, exactly these kind of things, but it's there. I know, like Prabhupada's harmonium playing is quite bewildering, right? Even classical musicians, it's quite, probably, yes, I have my own style. And I thought it was something like Krishna's flute coming in, but something from the spiritual world. So we have this opportunity to relish. Everybody wants to see something beautiful. They pay these beautiful people in the movies, you know, millions of dollars to be in the movie. They pay them to model things. Or they're admiring a beautiful dog or a beautiful horse or beautiful anything, sunset, scenery. But nothing is as beautiful as Krishna. Nothing is as wonderful as the holy name of Krishna. We, theoretically, maybe we can understand. We have to hear these things again and again. And the more we're exposed to it, the more we understand it's actually a fact. There's nothing as wonderful as Krishna. So we learn, we want to aspire. That's why Krishna came and expose these Vrindavan pastimes, because he wanted to attract us to want to go to the spiritual world. These things hadn't been exhibited previously in the material world, Vrindavan pastimes, and these level of loving exchanges. People knew about Vaikuntha, they know about Narayan. But they didn't, there's no this kind of loving exchanges. Nobody embraces, right? When Gopakumar went to embrace, you know, Vishnu, when he went to Vaikuntha, everybody freaked out. You can't do that. Vishnu didn't mind, but, and then they were telling him, you should dress up like us. You know, you shouldn't just look like a coward boy and slob. But he didn't want to. He was not satisfied with just worshiping the Lord. The people and the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they are satisfied with that.
But Krishna wanted to show this Goloka Leelas, this, you know, the loving exchanges and all the different rasas. Even the Shanta Ras, you know, he's with the cows and calves, he's embracing them and they're licking him. Very intimate rasas, exchanges. And then the friendship. The cows even have friendship with Krishna. And with parental and conjugal, you know, all the different exchanges of love were exhibited fully. So it's actually non-different than Goloka. One description said the only difference is that we can see that Gokula, that was visible in the material world. The Goloka is not visible to ordinary eyes. When Krishna appeared, although not everybody could understand who he was, they could see. And everyone admired his beauty. You know, when Krishna came to Mathura, all the women were stunned. And when he went to Dwarka, everyone was stunned. Everyone just wanted to look at him, embrace him. You know, everyone wanted to love Krishna. Is the supreme lovable object. So bhakti yoga process is giving us that opportunity to develop that love for Krishna, to get the real prayojana, the real thing, the final thing. By practicing, sadhana turns into prema. We can't get prema any other way. But by practicing sadhana, and even a devotee that achieves topmost prema, he'll still act like a sadhaka. He won't just, you know, give up all his sadhana and say, okay, I love Krishna now. Because the more one loves Krishna, the more one knows about Krishna, the more he's thinking, I don't love Krishna. The more he realizes the love of Radharani or the love of Mother Yasoda, the thing, like in that song goes on, Yasoda Nandana, the great pleasure of Yasoda. Yasoda was always in anxiety about Krishna. You know, to feed him and dress him and wake him up and, you know, worried about the forest, and she wanted him to wear shoes, you know that? And Krishna refused. She was in so much anxiety because his feet would get scratched in the Vrindavan forest. In the forest there's thorns and there's stones and, you know. So she wanted him to wear shoes. Krishna wouldn't wear shoes. She was crying and begging him. He said, all right, if you make shoes for all the cows, then I'll also wear shoes. He said, I can't wear shoes because the cows don't have shoes. So she gave up. But that's the loving exchange. The mother and child. You know, he did everything to make everyone think of him. He stole butter and milk from everywhere. He let the calves loose. You know, they keep the calf away from the mother, but Krishna would let them loose and they'd drink all the milk. So there wouldn't be any milk. He would, you know, so many things. He would make. So everyone was thinking of him. And of course, when he's naughty, he gets more attention. So he was the most naughty. But, and Yasoda Nandan Gopa, Brajajana Ranjana, the great happiness of all the Brajajana, all the people of Braj. Jana means the population, people. So everyone was loving Krishna. Everyone was thinking of Krishna. So that every day, you know, every morning, when Krishna would leave with his boyfriends, everyone would follow him to go to the forest, and then he would have to keep telling them to go back. Yasoda would follow. They'd send Balaram would tell her to go back. Krishna would tell her to go back. She'd come back with another anxiety, with this, with that, you know, telling Krishna's lunch and so many things. Nanda would try to follow. Krishna would have to tell him, you have to stay and you have a lot of duties, you know, as a king. The gopis would all follow.
But they were girls, they weren't allowed to go in the real forest. Vrindavan was a different geography then. Now when we go on Prikama there, you know, say, well, we're in this forest or that forest, but there's no tree that we can see. Every maybe 100 meters, they find some little tree. But at Krishna's time, there was so much trees, and even in the forest, the sunlight didn't penetrate, because there were so many big, big trees. And then they would play there, very nice and cool, and also lots of grass grows underneath and those kind of places. So the cows were very happy, and Krishna didn't have to do anything. But now Kali Yuga is changing the looks of everything. But the transcendental trees are still there. Krishna's pastimes are still there. And the very pure devotee can see them. For us, we have the Bhagavatam, which gives us Krishna's pastimes. We have Krishna book, you know, which gives, you know, Vraja pastimes, Krishna's activities as a child, baby, young man. He left actually 12 years old, but Krishna looked like he was 15 years old. And he lived for quite a few years. And he was 5 even when he was 4. He was actually only 12 years old when he left Vrindavan. But he never really leaves Vrindavan. But he unmanifests. But his heart is always in Vrindavan. The Leelas are always going on. That's why we like to go there. But we have to be careful when we go to Vrindavan that we keep our mind fixed on our sadhana, chanting even more, keep busy in the service of Krishna, hearing and chanting glories of the Lord. We have many, many duties to do and many things to do for maintaining the temple, putting on festivals, you know, cooking, cleaning, all these things. But we have also clean the heart by chanting the holy name. Of course, cleaning the temple is cleaning the heart. But we're chanting at the same time. And Krishna wants us to have good sadhana, and especially to hear Krishna katha. Krishna says, you know, my devotees are always chanting my glory, satyatam kirtayantamam. And they're always talking my katha, my kirtan. And then they're always happy. Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. Because that's our natural condition, to be with Krishna. When we're with Krishna, connected to Krishna, then the natural bliss of the soul is manifest. It's perceivable. Then we can be really happy. Otherwise, when we're separated from Krishna, we're like a fish out of water. They don't die right away, but they, you know, they can't function, can't do anything. They just flop around. You know, they can't breathe, right? Because they breathe water. They have different type of system. So when we're absorbed in trying to enjoy the material world, thinking we're the body, then we can't really be happy. The Prabhupada liked that drama, devotee said, the fish, you know. You can give him everything, comfortable house and bed and, you know, nice food and everything, but you can't enjoy it, can't function. You can live for some time, but you're just waiting to get back in the water. So we're actually, that's why we're looking for, but most people don't know what they're looking for. So jumping here, jumping there, jumping here. Trying to enjoy this, trying to enjoy that. Being Maya's dragging us here and there, telling us, oh no, that here's, this one will make you happy. This, now we've got it. Right? The next situation, you're going to get it together now. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. But then it never works. But until, by the mercy of the Lord, we meet the spiritual master and we get information of the, what we really are, and we get the information of Krishna, and we connect with Krishna, then we can be very happy. And then we can hear about Krishna. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we'll want to be with him. We may not be as like intense as Rukmini. Rukmini had only heard about Krishna. She'd never seen him. heard about him from Narada Muni. And then she became desperate to be married to Krishna. And she risked, you know, risked her life, you know, because she's going against the will of her older brother, and her father was going along with it to marry Shishupal. And she wrote Krishna a secret letter to come and kidnap her. You know, she so just by hearing about Krishna. So, you know, people hear about things like in the world, people hear about America and they want to go there. Of course, they don't hear everything about it, but somehow they hear that it's really good there. They can really enjoy it, right? So all over the world, people want to go there. They only heard about it. Sometimes they've seen pictures. So we're seeing pictures of Krishna, we're seeing the deities of Krishna. You know, we're really getting a lot of mercy because that's actually Krishna. So then we should, and we can learn that service to Krishna is the way to be with Krishna. That's the way to be fully satisfied. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, you know, we're praying for service. That's what it's supposed to mean. So, thank you very much for listening.